Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. It's Vlad Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's Monday. Another post-mortem. No pit live wire. Man, we're not gonna have another pit live wire for a while, so I guess we should keep rewatching that one from those Rice and Youngstown State pit live wires, because we're not gonna have another one for a while. Man, that sucks. I was hoping to see all the nice action. I mean, of course, the highlights are probably they probably post the highlights like they always do, but. That's really about it. So, Pitt drops another one. 35-17 to NC State. NC State goes to 6-1. And of course, some of them are pounding their chest about it, saying we don't belong in the ACC. But the ACC really, they haven't really had much of a juggernaut on NC State in football. I mean, the last time NC State was really relevant was probably when Russell Wilson was there for a year. And that's really about it. Of course, they had a stint when Phillip Rivers was there, and they won games when Phillip was there, but that was really about it. There wasn't anything groundbreaking with him. You know, he was drafted in that first round with Roethlisberger and Matt Manning and Ben and Eli, each won 2 Super Bowls, and Phillip Rivers was the odd man out. And, you know, Phillip had good teams that just, they fizzled in the playoffs, usually. But, of course, Drew Brees was there when Phillip was there, and, you know, the Chargers did away with Drew Brees, and Brees left to go win a Super Bowl with the Saints. Because everyone thought at the time that Brees was just a system quarterback and he would never be a pro QB. But anybody that's ever watched Drew Brees in college when he played for Purdue know a lot differently. I mean, he played against, I mean, the 99 season, I remember, he pretty much passed all over Penn State's defense. And that defense, that 99 defense, was full of pro players. I mean, you had, obviously, number one picks in Arrington and Courtney Brown. Brendan Short was on that roster. He was a draft choice. And there was plenty of others on that roster as well that were either drafted or they saw time as, you know, as undrafted free agents. Lots of good players on that team. I mean, those are just a handful of them on the surface, but there was more than that. But, you know, he panned out. But other than that, NC State really hasn't been much. I mean, Pitt faced them in the Tangerine Bowl, and even then, supposedly, some Pitt fans told me at that bowl game, you know, NC State had a kind of a snobbish appearance to themselves, like they were very important than anything else. Of course, Pitt beat them. And that was that. But again, yeah, NC State pretty much, their football program has been no different than Pitt's in the last 30 years, so whatever. Enjoy your 6-1 start. But I'll be honest. I didn't watch the Pitt game at all. Instead, I spent the afternoon with my kids. I took them out to the park, and you know, there's a nice big family park in, you know, near the medical center in Houston. It's where the zoo and everything is, and took them there. We let them run around, and of course, there's a little train that they can ride around. They rode the train, and then, you know, we just run about, and I came home, and you know, checked the score. Pitt obviously was losing. It was towards the end, and so I mean, I watched bits and pieces of the game on, you know, ESPN3. I rewatched it. And of course, I looked at the drive charts as well from the game and the stats, all that happy stuff. Obviously, the big glaring difference was the fact that NC State outrushed Pitt 248-95. So they packed on nearly 250 rushing yards, and Pitt only managed 95. So Pitt couldn't even run the ball. But on paper, I mean, it was 14-14 at halftime. So Pitt obviously had a chance in this game. But obviously, you know, if they were to win it, they were obviously going to score. They were going to have to score more points. And they only managed 3 points in the second half. And obviously, if you can't put more points up, you're going to have a bad time. And another thing, obviously, that killed Pitt was they gave up a lot of big plays. I mean, you had that little sequence where the 83-yard run, and then Pitt goes, you know, three or four and out, whatever. Punt goes back for a touchdown. And it's just, that's what haunted Pitt all day, was they gave up a lot of big plays. And it doesn't help when your defense, well, not your defense, your offense can't really do anything with the football. You know, Pitt was down 21-14. They are mathematically still in it. And Pat Narduzzi decides to go ahead and make a change of quarterback, which baffles me. Why he would wait till then to make the change. You're down only 7 points. But if you look at some of the, if you look at the comments from supposedly a father of a kid that's been recruited by Pitt, Pitt's obviously seen this year as a rebuilding year, and they're not gonna try to. It doesn't look like they're gonna try to salvage this season at all. And it was time for them to, you know, take the little boy pants off of Kenny Pickett and throw him in there. The thing is, the game was winnable. At that point, maybe Ben DiNucci comes in, leads him on a touchdown drive, and things change. Well, didn't happen that way. And so, what you have now is, you know, obviously DiNucci wasn't too happy about this. Although he knew he was going to be replaced, I don't think he realized that it was going to happen when a team was down 7 points, and they needed a drive. Because normally, if it was me and I was a head coach, I probably would have left it alone and kept DiNucci in there to see what he can do in the next drive, to see if he can get him in the end zone for a touchdown. Because maybe then DiNucci gets it, and maybe things start to go a little swimmingly for Pitt at that point. It didn't happen, obviously. And now you put some uncertainty in DiNucci as well, because he sees this as, well, should I really play hard? Should I really, you know, bust my ass when I know that the coach is going to pull me anyway? You know, should I say, you know, should I really care at this point? Obviously, the staff wants to see what Kenny Pickett wants to do. They love this guy. Should I even bother trying? Well, that would be your initial attitude, obviously. and then you have to sit down and look at it. I mean, it happens when you get pulled. I mean, my professional life, I had that happen to me where I was a network engineer and we just got all, you know, I was there for about a year or so. And actually, I was with the company for more than almost 2 years. I was a network engineer for about a year and they pulled me from my position and they gave my job to somebody else. In fact, what happened was is they yanked me and they gave this guy a job as a network administrator where he would be handling more of the... I was handling more of the voice and data lines. You know, I was handling the switching, the routing, the phone systems. And pretty much they were stable at that point and we really weren't getting much tickets. Not much to for maintenance, obviously, because we were a small oil and gas company. Our big concern was data, which was like, you know, backups, protecting the data, things like that. And our director obviously made a decision to pull me from my position and give it to somebody else who was more geared in that, which I wasn't happy with it because I worked my ass off to get to where I was and it was being given to somebody else. It sucked, but I was pretty much told that I'd take this position or else. Which kind of blew. So my initial position was, well, I'm just going to mail this in. Screw it. I ain't doing anything more for this company. So, the hell with them. And I could have easily done that. And I was going to do that. That was my initial reaction. I mean, I could have just quit. But of course, I have freaking two... At the time, I had two kids at home. And Lord knows how the job market was at that time. This was before oil and gas went down under. You know, it's quitting is easier said than done. So obviously, I'm between a rock and a hard place. So I had to take the position they had for me, which was a lesser position. There was no pay cut, really. And I just did what I had to do. And until I found another job. I mean, I ended up leaving on a good note. I mean, they really liked me at that time. And they I had no choice but to go on a good note. And that's really what you have to do. And with DiNucci, I mean, he can find ways to make himself an asset. You know, he can keep practicing playing hard. Maybe he'll drive him more. If not, if he wants to go somewhere else, then this is kind of an audition for him to get some game film. And they can look at him. So there's a lot of things he can do this right now. But obviously, you know, this team, it just is what it is. They're 2-5. They're not going to make a bowl game. The only way they're going to make really a bowl game is if these teams forfeit the rest of their seasons. So all I can really do is hope for some sort of progress. I mean, we're seeing progress on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, it's a different story because, you know, you got... There's some talented receiver. You know, Jester White had a nice game. It's just... Pitt doesn't have a game breaker on offense. They got to have somebody under center that's consistent, that can make throws, make plays. They don't have it. And at running back, it's a different story. They don't have nobody at running back that really can do anything. So, for me, I really would just prefer if they would do something with the running back position. Upgrade somehow, some way. Because whatever they're doing right now with their current crop of guys just isn't working. Maybe if we had the offensive line from last year, these guys would do well, but it ain't happening. So, like I said, this year is just growing pains. It sucks because you're looking at Penn State being number two in the nation. West Virginia came back from 17 points down to win it, to win. You're seeing all that. I mean, you can't really tell Narduzzi to leave or fire him. You can't fire a coach in year three right now. You have to give him at least 4 years. And that's the thing. He hasn't really done anything to lose his job yet. Pitt's gone the back-to-back 8-win seasons from all those 6-7 seasons they've had. You can't do it. Could he have had better records with the teams he's had? Sure. But he hasn't had a defense to do it with. So, I mean, you just got to give them time. Last year, they had a really good offense. The defense was terrible. They had to outscore their opponents just to win football games. This year, the defense is starting to shape up. It's the offense that's an issue now because they have freaking no playmakers. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And that's the problem. Although they have depth at running back, but they don't have, none of them really can do anything. Nothing, none of them really stand out. And same with quarterback. If they had a quarterback that could probably, you know, make throws, make up for what's going on. I mean, if they had Deshaun Watson type of player, you know, guy who can, you know, take off and run and put the team on its back, or he can pass for 200 and run for 100. If they had that type of thing, they'd be all right. But they don't have that with any of these guys. Nothing at all. Click, 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 click. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. And, of course, let's get back to the next topic at hand. We have an issue now. Well, not so much an issue. There's people that have the issue with this. We have obviously a walk-on by the name of Ian Troost that's kneeling before a national anthem. Supposedly he was doing this at the Rice game not too long ago, and it wasn't really reported. Actually, it was never reported. But now it has, and several media people have run with it, which to me, I don't like it that they have been running with this, mainly because of the negative aspect of it. And of course, when I tweeted this last night, people thought I meant that the player kneeling and the coaches and the administration staying behind their player, I thought was a negative. Which was not at all what I was trying to imply. Which, you know, for me, I wish I would have been a lot more clear with it. And I thought I was, but then again, people don't really read on Twitter. You have to be really detailed on Twitter with those 140 characters. Otherwise, you get people spinning it into something that you didn't said. And then, of course, when that happens with some people, their followers jump on that, and it becomes a freaking circus. To me, this could be a positive, because recruiting-wise, mainly because the admin up to the chancellor stands behind their players. And their student, you know, mainly, not so much your players, I shouldn't say players, but student athletes, for them to express themselves. But the negative aspect I'm talking about is, well, Jerry DePaula, although I said it was Dulac last night, and I didn't feel like redoing the tweets, But the public decided to take to Twitter and post an article about all the comments he got, the emails and all the tweets. Most of them are all negative, pretty much. There was one little positive one. That was it. And this is what I'm talking about. The local media is going to take this and focus on the negativity part of it, which is the fans having negative issues with it. Threatening to pull their donations, this and that. Stop going to the games. Personally, I don't care if they don't go to the games anymore because Heinz Field's empty anyway, so who cares? You've already bought your season tickets. They've already got your money, so go. Take the rest of the year off if you want. If it's going to make you that upset. I mean, I went to the Steeler games from 89 to 2009. I could tell you a lot of times that I stood for a national anthem, and there was people in front of me just making their way to their seats. And of course, I had to move for them just so they can put down their nachos and beer and whatever else. And I think it got to a point in our section, I remember, where some people next to me, they refused to move for those people and say, "Hey, you got to stand." But that's what we deal with. I mean, my dad's a Vietnam veteran. He says the same thing. He says, "I don't know why they're getting so mad about this." He says, "These people don't freaking stand for it anyway." Well, not so much stand, at least stand still, and observe it. Observe the national anthem. So, that's what I'm talking about, is you're going to have recruiters pulling up this news article showing, hey, this is what their fans think about you by doing this. So we can hope as recruit they focus more on what the administration really thinks about this, and it gives them the freedom to express themselves. And that's all I can hope for, is that they look at, because personally, I'm a recruit, that's all I'm worried about, is I'm worried about is what the admin, what my coach thinks, what my teammates think, what the admin thinks. That's all I'm worried about. I'm not worried about someone in the stands who's mouth breathing because I'm going to kneel. And we've seen already with people that say that their $100 Panther Club donations matter more than this. Sure. Sure they do. Hear my clicking? Click, 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 click. All right. Yeah, I'm making a left turn. But, this program and these student athletes are bigger than your donation. It's great that you're doing that, but don't cut your nose to spite your face over something like this. Be supportive. And yes, of course, it is your First Amendment right to disagree with it. Of course. It sure is. Me personally, it doesn't really bother me that he is kneeling. If he wants to do that, let him do it. Just as long as he's doing it for an actual purpose. And that's the thing. What exactly is he in truth doing it for? I mean, is he going to go and do what Colin Kaepernick did after kneeling? Is he going to start raising money, participate in the community, get dialogue between police and neighbors of the black community, because obviously this was the issue, was the police brutality you know, treatment of minorities, inequality. Is he going to do all that? Is he going to start doing it all of a sudden? Is that what his premise is by doing this? Or is he just kneeling to say, hey, you know, I get it. And I'm with you guys. So, we don't know. I mean, heck, he could be kneeling for an on-campus stadium, like I said. But until we actually know what he's doing it for, his real reasoning, we shouldn't really totally judge the guy on how he's doing it. And he's obviously had the dialogue with his teammates with it as well. I mean, he ain't just going kneel out of the blue. He's already had the dialogue. They support him. They support him, so we should as well. But anyways, those are topics. Two big ones. So I close here after about 25 minutes of rambling on. Thanks for listening. Hail to Pitt.